This is Andrew Schultz. I'm the sales manager for CHS Ag Services. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Good morning, I'm Don Wick on the road at MinAg Expo in Mankato. We also have Jamie Dickerman in studio, and we'll have an update from Tyler Donaldson as well. One of the highlights on the first day of MinAg Expo was a legislative panel featuring the chairs and ranking members of the State House and Senate Agriculture Committees. This will be a bonding year for the Minnesota Legislature. Senate Agriculture Committee Chair Eric Putnam said funding for the Rural Finance Authority is an important investment and needs to be renewed in that process.
It's incredibly important. As some of the other panelists mentioned, there's an infinitesimal rate of default on RFA loans. It's an incredibly important project. The different levels of different varieties of loans that we get out of RFA, they help every different Minnesotan farmer. It's really, really important. The challenge, though, as I mentioned, is that it counts against the overall state's debt ceiling. So we're going to have to politically negotiate a way to make the RFA extension as large as possible without compromising the regular general obligation bonds and the politics of getting that passed.
Senate Agriculture Committee ranking member Tori Westrum said the Rural Finance Authority has a strong track record, especially for beginning farmers.
So it's so important that it doesn't get mired down in the session negotiations at the end of session. And so I really want to see RFA pass early in session on its own so it doesn't get mired down with a lot of other things in an omnibus bill. So farmers can count on that RFA funding as a beginning farmer and a last resort lending option with great success and history. So we have that assurance in the agriculture community.
You also touched in on the regulatory environment, particularly from PCA. Do you see any solution there?
It needs to start at the top. We need to get a governor, Republican or Democrat, that really takes this seriously so we can have permits processed faster, like in weeks or months, not years and decades. And we can get there. We've got neighboring states that have done it for a long time. We just need to revise, reform, and change our culture in our MPCA and other regulatory agencies that seem to work against the taxpayer and the landowner as opposed to with them.
MinAg Expo continuing today in Mankato, starting this morning with the Minnesota Corn Growers Association delegate session. I'm Don Wick, reporting from Mankato with more farm news. Here's Jamie Dickerman.
Thank you, Don. House and Senate appropriators reaching an agreement on a package of spending bills to fund parts of the federal government left out of earlier legislation, but that deal does not include additional aid for farmers. The package does include controversial funding for Immigration and Customs Enforcement within the Department of Homeland Security. Congress expected to move quickly with a House vote anticipated this week, Senate vote next week ahead of the January 30th expiration of the current continuing resolution. Potential new farmer aid has been a hot topic on Capitol Hill. Lawmakers looking for ways to bridge gaps left by the outdated farm bill and delayed appropriations. Policy Solutions President Jay Truitt says Senate Republicans floating a sizable proposal focused on additional support for producers, especially specialty crop growers.
They put the news out, you know, that they were looking for that $15 billion to do some additional bridge payments, to work on support for specialty crops, look at increases on farm loan limits, and then some other random stuff that was going on. And in light of the fact that we're not getting a farm bill done, and we're not getting our ag appropriations done, we're just really kind of continuing those dollars. I would imagine that they're just looking really to fill in gaps that are at some point going to be created because of, you know, the market has changed and we haven't had a chance to actually adjust the law yet.
Truitt says that goal may be to temporarily fill those gaps until Congress can modernize ag law.
But honestly and truly, this is going to sound like I'm being negative about it, but I think it's probably mostly a fishing expedition for the senators just to try to get an idea of where the votes might be and where they're not for sure, and figure out if there's people that might cross the aisle with them and that might actually help them put together a package at some point in the future. And some people would call that a trial balloon. I think that this is more than a trial balloon. based on some of the people that are involved.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network. A series of winter weather alerts in effect across the region as light snow, strong winds, dangerous cold moving in. A winter weather advisory running till 6 o'clock today for parts of northwest and west central Minnesota, northeast and southeast North Dakota. With about an inch of snow, northwest winds up to 45 miles per hour, creating patchy blowing snow, poor visibility, and icy roads. A cold weather advisory in effect from midnight tonight through noon tomorrow for north central and northwest Minnesota and northeastern North Dakota, with wind chills as low as 34 below zero. An extreme cold warning covers the northern Red River Valley during that same time period, where wind chills there could drop to 40 below zero, followed by an extreme cold watch from Thursday night through Sunday morning, where we could see wind chills potentially reaching 50 to 60 below zero. Light snow continuing today with another clipper system bringing accumulations of about 1 to 3 inches in spots, along with gusty northwest winds over 30 miles per hour. The farm economy continuing to struggle. Farm groups urging American Farm Bureau Federation to get involved, and they have. Director of Government Affairs Brian Glenn says Congress needs to take action as financial pressure builds across rural America.
Farmers are facing extreme economic pressure right now. They're dealing with low commodity prices, elevated input costs, and ongoing market uncertainty. And this sustained pressure has led to losses approaching $100 billion nationwide across the farm economy.
Glenn says farmers appreciate the recent assistance, but warning it's not enough to offset the ongoing loss.
We called on Congress to act immediately to provide economic support to fill in the gap of remaining losses. And in addition to short-term assistance, Congress must pass year-round E15, which will support the farm economy and long-term farm viability.
Congress needs to vote on another continuing resolution by January 30th to avoid that government shutdown. Farm state lawmakers working to add year-round E15 to that bill.
While that looks good on paper, it's going to take a while and some time for that to come into effect and really move our markets. So we're excited about E15, but with a word of caution, it's going to take time.
Minnesota Corn Growers Association President Wes Beck says the infrastructure for 15% ethanol blends has to be built.
In Minnesota here, we think we're in a pretty good spot. We've got over 600 stations pumping E88 right now. The rest of the country does not have that infrastructure. And as we move into that California market, they're asking us, how do you do it in Minnesota? You get all these stations, and it's going to take a while to convince the retailers there that they can do it and that their infrastructure is compatible.
According to CHS Director of Oilseed Crush, Tony Roloffs, China has likely filled the 12 million metric ton soybean purchase obligation with the United States.
Yeah, we've largely fulfilled the 12 million metric tons. If we haven't fulfilled it yet, we are very close to having it fulfilled. So we'll see likely a lot of this execute over the next month or two to China, with some of it being tailed into the rest of the crop year.
The one area of demand growth has been in the soybean crush. The increased crush also means more soybean meal on the markets.
You know, surprisingly, we have seen soybean meal demand has been better than expected here over the last 3 to 4 months. I think as we saw prices really move to new lows here over the summer, we saw demand pick up domestically. So we're seeing inclusion rates very high domestically. And in addition, we're finding new homes into the export market as well. We're moving more meal into Southeast Asia. We're seeing more demand into Latin America. So we are seeing this meal find a home and kind of finding an equilibrium in this market.
Roloff's part of a marketing session at MinAg Expo. Brazil's soybean and first season corn planting nearly wrapped up. Early harvest getting underway as drier weather settles into southern production areas. World Weather Incorporated reporting dry conditions across southern and south central regions, boosting crop maturation and supporting early harvest progress, which is allowing safrinha corn planting to move quickly. However, the lack of rain and warmer temperatures beginning to dry the topsoil, raising some concern about establishment conditions later this month. Elsewhere, central and northern Brazil will see frequent rounds of rain, with some areas facing the risk of localized flooding. As of January 17th, soybean planting at 98.6% complete, first season corn planting reaching 90.7%. This is the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture here on the Red River Farm Network. 2025, a banner year for corn and soybean production in the United States. Iowa State University economics professor Chad Hart says the corn numbers that came out last week's supply and demand report were certainly eye-opening.
USDA found not only was it a great year for growing corn, but every time they looked at this crop, they found a few more acres to bring in. And so here in January, they were like, as they looked at the totals, they ended up adding 100,000 acres to the corn planted area. They added 1.3 million acres to corn harvested. Now, in this case, a lot of that ground had been planted to corn, but it was originally intended for silage. But given how great a year it was for production, we were able to fill those silage bins up fairly quickly, and therefore we had acres, more acres in silage than we needed, and so that acreage got redirected back into the grain market, which allowed us to add that 1.3 million acres.
For soybeans, the story was and remains China.
They do expect us to plant a little less corn, but it's still a very strong corn production number. We're looking at planted area around 95 million acres, so giving up about 3.8 million acres as we're looking forward here, but still would be the second highest total we've had in the past 5 years. Put a trend line yield to that of 182 bushels per acre, and that puts us at production being estimated at 15.8 billion bushels. So very strong production numbers. And so we need demand to be resilient here. And for the most part, that's what USDA is projecting.
The Industrial Commission says Standard & Poor's has affirmed the Bank of North Dakota's credit rating at A+ with a stable outlook. The rating released December 22nd, 2025, is unchanged from the agency's January 2025 review and remains well above the BBB plus anchor rating for U.S.-based banks. Commission members say the report highlights Bank of North Dakota's conservative management, strong earnings, low operating costs, and high risk-adjusted capital ratio. Bank of North Dakota President and CEO Don Morgan says the bank will continue working closely with local financial institutions while maintaining a strong focus on risk and liquidity management. American Malting Barley Association elected Ashley McFarland as its new president and CEO. McFarland, previously serving as the association's vice president and technical director, will now lead the AMBA's efforts to strengthen the malting barley industry through research, quality assurance, and collaboration across the supply chain. She succeeds Scott Heisel, who will retire in April of 2026 after nearly four decades with the organization. Taking a look at the numbers right now, we're looking at Minneapolis wheat. May, we're up three now, 576.5. May Chicago's up 3.75, now 525.5. And March Kansas City is up 3.25, 526.25. March corn up 3.25, 427. March soybeans, we're up 10.25 now, 1063.25. The May is currently up 9.25 at 1073.25. The soybean oil is up 31 now at 53.42. Reporting agriculture's business, this is the Red River Farm Network.